Hey, what's up, guys? We have Robert Bednarz here to talk about his band, The Sounds of Settling. So what's going on, Robert? How are you doing today?
Yeah, hey, Micah, how's it going? Thank you so much for having me on. I'm actually quite excited to talk to you. This is my first podcast interview chat thing I'm doing as The Sounds of Settling. So it's an honor to be on yours. Thank you so much.
No problem. And yeah, first of all, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself just so we know who you are and all that?
Yeah, sure. So I'll try to make the story as short as I can. So my name is Rob. I'm born and raised in New Jersey. And throughout the years, back when I was in high school, I was in a pop punk band called Hands on the Stereo. And we got to tour a little bit in the East Coast and the Midwest. And then we got to a point in 2013 where we kind of sat down together and said, hey, are we going to take this seriously, go full time at this, or should we be safe and settle and kind of do, you know, have stable jobs and make sure we can make a living out of it? Because in music, it's such a huge risk. So we decided to settle and just go our separate ways and try to find jobs and, you know, make a life in, out of that. So I had this crazy opportunity to go to medical school in Poland. And Poland, because my whole family's Polish, I could speak Polish. So I went there and I lived with my family in Wrocław. It's like a southwestern part of Poland, and went there, went to med school. Med school program there is 6 years. So I did that and I didn't focus on any music. There was just no time, because when you're in med school, you're just studying or sleeping or eating, and that's it. It's just like taking exam after exam after exam. So that was that. And then after med school, I graduated in 2019. Where I moved to Scotland to work as a doctor. And why Scotland is because my now wife, when we met in university back in Poland, we kind of had to make a decision, like, where are we going to work and live and stuff like that. She's from Poland, so she didn't want to be too far from Poland. I didn't want to be too far from the States. So we just kind of met in the middle and said, all right, somewhere in the UK. Why Scotland? It's just anyone's pick. We just decided to be in Scotland. So then I went to Scotland. My wife, she's a year below me. So she was still in med school for another year while I was out here working. And my first year as a doctor was when the COVID pandemic hit. So that was just like a baptism through fire, just learning a lot of things. The first couple of months was fine, because it was still normal until like February, March, this cloud of doom just came over. And like, oh, it was, you know, you see, it's true, like how much death there was left and right. And so many people we just couldn't save, or we couldn't do really much about, just because of the COVID that exacerbated whatever disease they already had that just made it worse. So for me, it's like, that's normal now, you know, just seeing it, like if I see a death or something, like, ah, okay, this is just how it is in the hospital, I guess, when I never really knew what it was like working as a doctor before COVID. So this is just my norm from here on. So I found that quite interesting, because I can't really compare myself to any other doctors that's worked much longer than I have. and then just a whole bunch of experiences through COVID and through what I've been going through at work. You know, I'm kind of like the whole program in the UK is much different than the States. So there's something called like foundation program, which is like a 2-year internship, but you get paid. So you're working, you get paid for it. And then after that, I couldn't really decide what I wanted to do, whether I wanted to do internal medicine or surgery or emergency medicine. I had no clue. So I kind of took a year out to just kind of explore different specialties and see what I enjoyed. And then unfortunately last year, we were going to have a wedding. That was our wedding last year, and we did it in Florida. So my wife and I, we did like a tiny wedding in Florida just so my parents could make it, because my parents weren't going to be able to fly out to Poland, where we had like a big church wedding, a gigantic party and stuff. So we planned to do like a small wedding in the States, where it would just be my parents and just my close siblings, and that's it. But unfortunately, my dad died on the day of my wedding. So that was just, it took a toll on me for sure. So I had to take time out of being a doctor for a bit. And I kind of reflected a lot of what's worth it. Because like being a doctor, there's so many sacrifices you have to make. And like for us here, there's such a huge chance of moving every 6 months, and it's hard to stay in one place. You have to really fight for your spot if you want like a competitive specialty to work in. It's a thankless job. You're doing so much. And over here, since it's social here, so you're not paying privately or anything, it's paid by the government. People really take it for granted that the kind of care they have here, you know, so there's two sides of the sword. One side, it's great that they're not really paying much. They're not paying anything. It's just paying out of their taxes. So they come and everything gets treated. You get your medications. It's all free. That's fantastic. The only downside to it is just, you know, long waits to see your doctor sometimes, or your elective surgery. If you have, I don't know, a bad knee, if you could still manage to walk, you're waiting a few extra months until it breaks, you know. And all of that, I just kind of took a step back and realized, you know, thinking about my dad as well, he always worked to the minutes. He was always working, you know, he was taking care of my mom. Mom was sick as well. So he was just always day in, day out, working, and always tried to see like the light at the end of the tunnel. It's like, oh, it'll be fine soon. Until he died. And I realized like, this is not the way to live. So I took some time off and I tried to reflect more on like what is actually worth it in life, trying to have like an easier lifestyle and stuff like that. And that's where I was like, I picked up my guitar again and started just writing a few songs here and there. And I was like, I miss this. This is cool. It sucks that I settled for being a doctor, you know, because this was actually bringing me joy, you know, playing music and stuff. So so I decided to make this project called The Sounds of Settling. I didn't use my name because I didn't really want to attach my professional name to a musician's name. I didn't want people to find me right away doing both things. I wanted to do something different. And The Sounds of Settling is a song title of a band by Death Cab for Cutie. I love the song. It's such a fantastic song. And I was like, this is perfect in terms of my life. I feel like I'm settling for a lot of things in my life, which is fine. It doesn't have to be a bad thing that you're settling. Settling can just be just as good as well, just to make your life a little bit more comfortable and find that happy place for you, so you can actually manage your life a little bit better. So I wrote 5 songs. First one I just released on the 15th of February. It's called Healing Failures. And that's all about choices. Just making really difficult decisions on your own and not letting external factors kind of decide for you. And in that specific song, it's all about signing a do not resuscitate form, where here in the UK, it's the patient can choose whether or not they want to be resuscitated or not. We have this discussion with them. We sit down and we say like, hey, if your heart were to stop, we don't think your quality, you know, we don't think CPR and jumping on your ribs and cracking them and breaking them is going to be a benefit for you, because how you would, if you were to come back, you're going to be a lot worse than if you just had, you know, kept your dignity and just kind of went away. And most of the time they understand, which is great. A lot of the patients, they kind of understand. They're like, yeah, you know, they have a whole bunch of comorbidities. They're like, yeah, I don't want to come back if I can't do what I normally do every day. That's fine. Whereas some don't want to make that decision. So in the UK, our law here, it's a bit different than the States, but the law here is that the doctor kind of makes the official decision at the end. So if I were to go to a cardiac arrest, and there's a patient, you know, that doesn't have this form signed, so we're doing a whole spiel of CPR and everything, and we see immediately like with their background, the past medical history, what's been going on with them, and we know that them coming back is A, futile at this point, and B, if they did, it's just not going to be it's not a life after that, you know. So at the end, we make the decision if we deem it necessary. So that's the first song. And then the other songs all have like some kind of medical correlate to it or personal life correlate. So more to come.
Yeah.
And that's what we're about. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot there. I feel like we could do like a whole podcast episode on just like the doctor and like, and COVID thing and everything else, but I kind of want to like stick to the music and, but yeah, so I was also in a band. And well, first of all, as far as the dying thing, are you able just to choose to die? Like, not if you're in the hospital and like your heart stops or whatever, like, but are you able just to be like, you know, like you're 60 and like you have, I don't know, cancer or whatever, and you're depressed, and are you able to choose to die there? Because I know here, well, at least in California, you can. Some states you can, I think. But
so the patients have, there's supposed to be a talk between them and one of the consultants. So a consultant here is an attending in the States. So one of the consultants usually has to sit down with the patient and they go through a list of things of how would you like to die? You know, what kind of things do you want done if you are sick, et cetera? It's like, sometimes they're so frail. It's like, one of the questions is, do you want to go to the hospital if you get sick really fast? Or do you just want to stay put where you are and just kind of go peacefully that way? Or do you want to, if you do come to hospital and we know you're dying soon, do you want to die in the hospital or do you want to die at home? Or, you know, where would you like to die? You know, they have that opportunity, they have that choice. Especially we tried to have the conversation early on before, you know, because sometimes they get like cognitive impairment and they can't make those decisions. And, you know, sometimes they have like an advanced directive, which makes things a lot easier. But I feel like death is still such a taboo topic, unfortunately, to a lot of people that they're afraid to think about it and talk about it. Where being in the field, you see it so much that it's just like, why? It's a natural thing that happens to everybody. It should be as normal as talking about, you know, birth and giving life, you know, kind of thing. Dying is such a natural thing. We should be able to talk about it and ask somebody, how do you picture your funeral? How do you picture dying? You know, like, how, what's your best way to die? It's just so we know. Oh, can't hear you.
Sorry. There we go. Yeah. So what if it's a situation where like you're not sick at all and like you're just, you know, basically just want to die or whatever, like in that situation, can you choose to do that? Or does it have to be a situation where you're in the hospital or sick with something?
Are you talking about like euthanasia, like assisted death or?
Yeah, because I actually just messaged somebody who is a end of life grievance counselor or whatever. And so since you brought it up, I was just wondering in Scotland, how are the rules for that? Is it basically, yeah, like, is it like a suicide allowed? I mean, it sounds bad, but like, yeah, euthanasia, suicide, is that type of thing like allowed? No,
I get it. I actually don't know what the law is, but it's definitely not talked about. I would assume that it's not legal. We don't do that here in the UK. There's no assisted suicide. There's nothing like that. Yeah. All we can do is, if they're in hospital, I mean, and we've palliated the patient, we can give the right medications to make it as comfortable as possible so that, you know, there's no anxiety, no shortness of breath. We give the right medications and, you know, there's drivers set up so that it can be as peaceful as possible, but assisted suicide and stuff like that, I would put my money on it's illegal here if I had to guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So getting into the music, for one, your name, I am a big Death Cab, or at least I was a big Death Cab for Cutie fan. Unfortunately, you know, I mean, a lot of these bands unfortunately aren't as good as they used to be, I feel like, but, that's, you know, a whole other thing. But yeah, I knew that it was a song from them and I was going to ask you about that, but you already said you got your title from them. So that's pretty cool. Also like growing up, so you grew up in New Jersey. I know there's a lot of like, kind of like pop punk emo bands that were from New Jersey, like around, that was probably like more like around like 2005 or so, such as like My Chemical Romance, Thursday, who else, like Saves the Day.
I mean, I think we always get paired up with New York. So you got like Taking Back Sunday, Brand New, and then Bayside, like anybody that's in the New York area, we just kind of pile them together as well.
Yeah. And Brand New is, well, all those bands are probably like my up there and my favorite bands, but Brand New is probably top five, and Taking Back Sunday too. But I saw Brand New at their last, unfortunately, whenever I talk about music, especially pop punk and emo and stuff, like I feel like it's just like kind of like name dropping because it's a kind of hard to like delve into anything else. But yeah, I saw Brand New at their last, I don't know if it was their last concert, but the last concert that I would have been able to see them at in California in San Bernardino. And it was just incredible. And they actually, Death Cab actually was before them, which was surprising to me, because I would think Death Cab would be after them. But they headlined this festival with like Tegan and Sarah, Death Cab, like Alex, you know, Alex G, by any chance?
Yeah.
Alex G was like, way early on. Like he played at like some other stage. But oh, yeah, okay. Brand New is just incredible, and I'm so bummed out that I probably won't be able to get to see them again. But yeah, so in terms of the bands that you're influenced by, would you say those bands are like the ones, or are there kind of like a newer version of those bands that you're also into?
No, so I feel like I was frozen in time, like 2012, 2013, because I just like not really. So it was, I wanted to touch on the music. Bands don't make really good music anymore now, like Death Cab and stuff, because I constantly think about that, where it's like, is it just not good music, or am I just getting old? You know, it's always that question. I don't know where that balance is. And I try to sit down and like, I don't know if you watch South Park, I'm a huge South Park fan, but Stan's dad, there was an episode where he tries to listen to his kid's music and it's just like farting and shit noises coming out. And he's like, no, this is good. This is good. So that's how I feel sometimes when I listen to newer stuff. Some of the newer stuff's good. I've discovered some new bands. Movements, something like Arms After Arms. I can't remember their names. I have them written down. That's just how old I am now, because I'm not caught up. I think one band is like doing really well all the time throughout the Wonder Years. I've been in love with them since you know, 10 years ago, and I think they're still releasing really good music.
I never really got that into them, but I do know of them.
I think I was just stuck frozen in 2013, because like when I show my music to some people, the first thing they say is like, yeah, this sounds like a real 2000s vibe. I was like, damn it. Wasn't what I was really going for, but yeah, I could see why you say that, you know, because all of my inspirations and it's from the bands I listen to, like I was just kind of sitting and doing some research of like what feelings I was getting from certain songs and like why those feelings were coming up. Was it chord progressions? Was it lyrics? And was it the way of the lyrics, or where the chords would change and stuff like that? Where the dynamics, was it the different instruments? So yeah, I listened to, I always tried to mix in music I don't listen to normally, just to expand my horizon. So I would always listen to Taking Back Sunday. Bayside is a huge influence. Mayday Parade, I like my pop rock stuff. Senses Fail, a few other bands I have like a list of. And then I tried to listen to like more Weezer, which I'm not crazy about, but I tried to listen to them more. Wilco, Beck, a bit more, and just kind of listen to how they play a few things. And Death Cab was an influence. I only liked those two albums, Transatlanticism and the other one, I can't remember the name just now, but those two are great.
Plans are the one before.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they just released a new one, which actually is an F-bad. It's called Asphalt Meadows, which I actually quite enjoyed. But I listened to all that, and I would just kind of sit down, listen, and that's where I got my influences from. It's just all that 2000, 2010s pop punk alternative rock stuff back at home.
So some of the other bands you mentioned, like Weezer, Beck, so were those bands that like you're not as into that you started listening to try and get like a different sound, or are those just bands that you're also into?
No, so they those are bands that would, like, I know of them, and I know they're really popular, so I respect them. I respect the success that they got from their music. So I know they obviously have good music. You can even say it objectively because of how many listeners they have and stuff like that. You could even say, like, you know, One Direction had good music, or Tokyo Rose has good music, you know, because they had so many listeners, so they're doing something right.
Yeah.
So I'm not I didn't compare the two, but I understand, like, Beck and Wilco and Weezer, they're big bands, respectful. They wouldn't be on my radar normally. I wouldn't be listening to them on a walk or anything, but I did listen to them because I was like, let's just mix it up. See, this is kind of the sound I'm kind of going for anyway. Let's just kind of research, see what kind of things they do that's interesting in their songs. So I wouldn't look for any song titles. I would just have a playlist of a whole bunch of songs and just go for a walk and just kind of listen and just see what catches my ear really quick. Like, oh, that was cool. What did they do there? And then I would take it home, and then I would just try to play it on my guitar, on the piano or whatever, and work it, like reverse engineer it. Like, what's making me feel this type of way? What made this catch my ear when I wasn't even really paying attention? So, and then I tried to not recreate it, but like, oh, I can use this as a tool now. I have it in my, you know, in my little fanny pack or whatever, and I'll take it out when I need to make that kind of emotion to fit it into the sound that I want.
Yeah, the problem that I have, and it's kind of like a bummer to say this, but it's like, it seems like the trends and the styles or whatever changed so much. Like back when I was in a band, this was early 2005s or early 2000s. We were like literally constantly changing genres, even within that period of time. It was like every year. And I didn't really like doing that, but it was like, I guess we were just following the trends, which is super dumb. And I, you know, I give you credit for not following the trends. So I don't even really know what the trend would be right now. But yeah, I mean, do you find that, and it sounds like you do, but do you find that to be somewhat of an issue, that pop punk is kind of like a 2000s thing? And like, I would say, how do you overcome it? But it sounds like you're listening to those other bands, but it almost, I don't know, it almost sounds like you have to even go further than Weezer and Wilco and stuff. Like, and that's the thing, is I don't even really, that's the part of the thing. Maybe it's because we're old. I don't know how old you are, but you, sounds like you're not too
old. I'm 32 just now.
Okay. So yeah, in my opinion, yeah, you're young, but I don't know if like, I wouldn't even really know what to play, nor would I really want to play what is, whatever's hip at the time. But it seems like, unfortunately, you almost have to kind of like follow the trends. So like, what would you say would be the current trend? Like, do you even know? Is there one? Like kind of like TikTok music type stuff?
Or yeah. Like, so when it comes to trends, like back maybe when I was in, so my old band was called Hands on the Stereo.
And I think I also checked them out. I checked out you, and the production is, the music and production is really good. I don't know who produced your stuff.
His name, I got to call him out. His name's Mark Tyndall. He owns Open Eyes Productions. I was looking for an engineer here. Sweetest guy I've ever worked with. Probably loves my music more than I do. Really works really hard. Once I have like a full length ready to go, I'm going straight back to him. His work ethic and production quality is so good. So I just have to, Mark Tyndall, like he definitely needs to be checked out.
Okay. And then yeah, also Hands on the Stereo, but I checked out too and it was also good. But yeah, I cut you off, so I think you were going into
So when it comes to trends, so back in Hands on a Stereo, I would try to follow a trend so we can kind of be grouped, because I tried to really mold myself into this one niche, narrow thing, where we even called ourselves like Happy Hardcore, because the Hands on a Stereo was a lyric by 4 Year Strong, which were really big. That was our biggest influence. And we tried to mold and be these types of people even sometimes, at least I was. But now, it's not like the whole perspective is different now, because before I was trying to make it like a full-time job. We were touring, we were selling merch, we were selling CDs and stuff like that. But now it's like, I have a full-time job, I don't need money. So if I do make any money out of this, I might just donate it to some kind of charity. I'm not crazy about it. I'm just having fun. I'm making music that I like. And that's the most important thing, because as long as I enjoy it, because if I'm making music that I'm not enjoying, then what's the point of me doing this? This is my hobby. I'm supposed to be having fun with it. I'm sure the same with your podcast. You're not doing it to follow a trend or to make, you know, be famous or be the next Joe Rogan, because that's like a 0.0001% chance of being like him. You know, you do it because you enjoy it. And as long as, you know, the content you make is good and makes you happy, you know, I have this whole like philosophical thing of just being happy. You know, it's just finding your happy spot, because if you do things for others, it's just not going to make you happy at all. And what's the point then? So this music is for me. So I'll try to make it the best I can. And then I'm always very open. So when I went to Mark Tyndall, the producer, I was kind of like, listen, here are the songs. If you have any ideas, just throw them at me. I'm very open to changing, to make it sound cooler, to make it sound different. It doesn't matter, as long as at the end of the day, I can, you know, bop my head to it and say, yeah, that's mine. You know, that's cool. So I don't follow any trends. And I think pop punk, like any genre, I think comes back in waves. So I think 2013, 2012 was like the peak of pop punk, because that's when you had like the Story So Far, Neck Deep, and real friends, they were like at their best then. And then I feel like there was a lull for, like, exactly the time when I was in med school, it just kind of died off. And then it was like all this new kind of music. I wouldn't even know what the scene was at the time, because I wasn't part of it anymore. I was just completely out of it. And then now I feel like with Paramore coming back and Pierce the Veil's new album and Fall Out Boy making it more punky, All Time Low, I think this pop punk era is like climbing back again. I think this surge of pop punk is coming back again, from what I see in terms of trends. So I feel like if I was planning to get big from this or whatever, then I feel like I've hit like a really good timing for it. But otherwise, it doesn't matter. I'm having fun. I'm not even really planning on performing anytime soon, because I don't have a band behind me. I don't know that many musicians here in Scotland. Whereas if I was back in New Jersey, it'd be really quick. I could find a few musicians, get together, we'll play a show. Whereas here, it's a little bit tougher. Not that there aren't any, I'm just not friends with any. So
yeah,
I don't want to hire anyone out. So yeah, I'm just having fun. No trends. And I really enjoy the business side of things. So like the marketing, trying to get on blogs, get on podcasts like this, get on reviews and playlists and stuff like that. I think that's so interesting. I really enjoy doing all of that. So I sit and I really enjoy doing the emails and trying to get my music as many listens as possible. So it's a slow start. So far, like, my song came out 2 weeks ago and it's got like over 700 streams now, trying to hit that 1,000 mark. So the Spotify changes less than 1,000 to, you know, a real number. So that's my first goal. And my overall goal is to try to get a total of 10,000 streams by the end of the year. So with 5 songs.
Okay. And is that number just based on Spotify? Like, do they combine all the different music platforms, or is that just Spotify? That, like, are you able to find out, like, on Apple Music how much you get?
I'm sure there's a way, but I don't really care too much about the other platforms, because I know, bar YouTube, because YouTube is actually the most listened to platform. People have videos just playing in the background, and it's always just YouTube. Everybody's going to YouTube and then watching videos, etc. But YouTube,
because that's also true for podcasts. But yeah,
podcast, yeah, podcast is an audio platform, but
yeah,
the video part of the world is actually the most popular. That's where you're going to actually make any kind of profit off of it. So that's why I'm trying to make music videos that are fun. Today, I released a lyric video, which is I branded it as how to make pour over coffee. So that's in the title. So that's like an algorithm boost, so that when people search how to make pour over coffee, my video can also pop up, which is a lyric video. And the whole lyric video is just me making pour over coffee slowly. It's like a cinematic a little bit. So that's fun. And and in the other platforms, I know that Spotify is 80%. So all those other ones that exist, Apple Music, Amazon, Deezer, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, all those other ones, I'll look at them at some point, but I'll focus on Spotify, because I know that 80% of all these music platforms is Spotify.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I use Apple Music. I think it's probably mainly just because it's like on the iPhone, and my girlfriend actually pays for it. But I guess Spotify is still the most popular over Apple Music. And yeah. But yeah, I also think it's interesting too, with YouTube being the most popular, not because it's YouTube, as YouTube is the biggest platform, obviously, but I don't pay for that, like, premium. So it's like, I don't like listening to audio on it, because they have ads. And then two, you have to have the thing, like, stay up on your phone. And so I don't know if people are like paying for the premium and doing that, or if they're just kind of like keeping an extra tab up on their computer or something.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think that's what it is. I think just people have it on their playing on their computer, just playing like sometimes when I'm at like a friend's house or something, the first thing they put on is YouTube playlist and not a Spotify playlist. They just put up a video, and it could be like a still picture or a lyric video, not even the actual music video, and just put a radio on, let the autoplay turn on, and just whatever comes next. And then I was like, all right, cool. I guess that's how it's done. So it's interesting. It's weird.
It's weird to me, but it also kind of like, I think I'm the type of person, I'm like very focused on what I'm doing. So like, and I also use my phone primarily. So it's like, I don't really like having, like, I can't really have YouTube up on my phone because it takes up the whole screen. Like I said, I'm not paying for it. So I don't know. To me, Apple Music is a, or Spotify is a better choice, but once again, that's because I'm not paying for it. But so as far as the, you said you still have a full-time job. So you still are a full-time doctor then.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I thought for a second there, I thought you said that you quit being a doctor to focus on this. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a big jump.
Yeah, so it wasn't too focused this. I stopped just because of my dad's death and stuff. So I just took a break. That's all I did. So because here, they're very flexible with how you work. If you need part-time or full-time, whatever you need. They're over here in the UK, they're very flexible with how you work, which is really, it's really nice. They're very people-friendly, which is what I enjoy here. So back in like October, November, I was kind of working ad hoc shifts here and there, just to kind of cover the bills and stuff, it was great because those actually, they pay you a lot more because they kind of ask for a doctor last minute, you know, maybe a doctor called out sick or something happened and they need a doctor last minute. And then, okay, cool, I'll take the shift, whether it's a night shift or whatever it is, a weekend shift, cool. They pay like three times as much. But since beginning of this month, I'm like now back full time. So I'm working, you know, sometimes 7 day weeks, which are miserable, but it's part of training. So like you need to do this to kind of be able to advance and move forward. So like last week, for example, I worked like 73 hours or something, you know,
oh, man.
Ridiculous. But then like this week, it's all 9 to 5s, which is great. But then some weeks, like next week, I'm doing 4 night shifts. So from 8 p.m. till 9 in the morning, for 4 nights. It's tiring, but it's part of the process. You just get used to it.
And are you doing surgeries or what kind of doctor are you?
No, so I'm just like an internist. So I'm like a general internal medicine doctor. And I think that's what I'm going for. So usually you pick like a general version of anything. So whether it's even surgery, you're usually doing like general surgery and then you niche into a topic somewhere, either like colorectal or breast or urology or whatever it may be. So now in medicine, you do general medicine and then you choose like a specialty going into it. And my plan is for cardiology. I quite enjoy all things heart related as the emo boy I always was. So I think that's what I'm going for.
And then at that point, would you be doing like surgeries and stuff once you...
No. So no surgeries. I wouldn't be doing surgery. Okay. I might do some interventional procedures. So like something called PCIs, percutaneous interventions, where putting stents in your heart after you have like a heart attack or something, or putting in something called, one sec. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So I'm so sorry. This is why I took 10 minutes before. The audio might be completely different now.
It's fine.
But that was the battery to my Zoom just going out. And I was charging it as much as I can before continuing. So now the audio might be a bit different. Apologies for that.
No, it's fine. What was your Zoom on? Like on...
I don't have the adapter for it, so I just have batteries, and I have rechargeable batteries, and it was being used yesterday and I just forgot to recharge them, so I was like,
oh, batteries crap. For Zoom, like it's not on your computer or like your phone or something?
No, like,
oh wow, I like, I'm surprised you just don't use it on like your computer or like
No, it's not like that. So that's how I record stuff. Yeah, so my apologies, but still, it's no problem. Works. But yeah, so there are some interventional things I could do as a cardiologist in the future. And that's the kind of route I'd like to go to. So that's the kind of stuff I enjoy. I like interventional things. Just being a surgeon, it was an interest, but I realized that lifestyle is just so crap. It's a lot longer hours. You're constantly coming in overnight, you know, for emergency surgeries. You're constantly worried about your trainees, making sure they're doing the surgeries okay and they have the confidence to do it. I don't know. I like surgeries, but I like, again, I want to focus on my life and be able to focus on my hobbies and, you know, my wife, and we want to have kids. So I want to raise a family. I want to be able to be around and focus on that more, because I think that's more important to life than my job. I'm not married to my job. I like it. I enjoy my job, but I'm not in love with it that much, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I just had like a nurse on who said that she was a nurse and then now she's a hypnotist. And she was saying how like nursing was just like soul sucking. and like she pretty much just couldn't handle it. Like, would you say that about the, in general, about the
I think healthcare,
the medical field?
Yeah, I think just the medical field. Yeah, it's just absolutely soul sucking. It's a,
I would, I would only, job, yeah. I would only imagine. Well, I mean, like you said, in maybe in America, like being a doctor isn't a thankless job, as you're just getting paid so much money. But in a country, like you said, with socialized healthcare, I don't know how it works, but maybe you get paid less, or maybe it's just not as profitable. But yeah, getting back into the music stuff. So, I'm doing, like, you know, you're obviously a smart guy, like you're a doctor, and I'm doing, like, I was doing music. Now I'm doing more like photos, videos, podcasts, just YouTube, Instagram, whatever. And I'm like, there's got to be a way to like figure out the algorithm, the quote unquote algorithm or whatever, you know, or just figure out a way. Like, obviously I don't really want to like sell out or anything. I'm not doing this as a full-time job, but it's like, there must be a way to figure out not only the algorithm, but just how to like perfect what you're doing in a way that it'll just sell. And like, mm-hmm. for music, for you, do you feel like that is true? Or do you feel like it's more of just kind of like this kind of like, who knows what the fuck will happen? You know what I mean? Same like thing. Like,
yeah.
Like, do you feel like you could get to a point where you're like, like you're just so good at music writing, you're so in tune with every, and I know you said you don't want to sell out, but, or you don't want to like follow the trends. Or do you feel like it's like art in general, just this type of thing where it's like, who knows? Like, you might make it, you might not.
So I think when it comes to like any kind of art, and like I could even throw podcasts in there, you know, podcasts is a form of art, music, videos, photos, any of those things. I think, in my opinion, you know, I'm not an expert on this kind of marketing stuff or anything, but in my opinion, I think as long as you could bring a story to what you're doing, and as long as your listeners or your fans or whoever feel something after watching your podcast, seeing your photos, your videos, you're listening to your music, that's the most important thing, is trying to capture the feeling they're having. So I think fortunately, I think YouTube is such a driving factor for artists. I think it helps because you can really resonate and relate with your fans just by showing who you really are or what story you're wanting to tell, and having those people kind of look and be like, oh yeah, I could really resonate with that, I could really relate to that, or I felt this way after watching it. So I think having YouTube as a medium to use to be able to show who you are and what you're trying to show, and, you know, with podcasts or music, well, sorry, with podcasts and videos, I think when it comes down to is two things. You're either entertaining your crowd, so you better make sure you have entertaining stuff, or you're educating your crowd, because everybody's always wanting to learn. I know I go to YouTube to learn a lot of new skills or anything I need to do. If I need to learn how to set up a podcast, or all of my music stuff that I learned is thanks to YouTube. You know, I just typed in how to do this and there's a video for it, you know. Thanks to those people, I'm going to now watch them a little bit more often because they provided something for me. You know, and like a certain podcast, I just got to resonate really well because they're really funny. There's one called The Basement Yard. They're based out of New York. It's two guys, but the main guy has his side YouTube channel, which is just him making jokes and all like different kind of funny things, like ad libs and stupid, just other stupid videos that like on a bad day, I'll watch it. I'll be like, hot, that made me feel good today. Thanks to that, I got that feeling of happiness and feeling a little bit better from watching that. He gained a fan. I'm going to listen to whatever he's got to say. And I know all of his other stuff's going to be in the funny realm. So, and it's great. So I think that's what a lot of people fail to do when they're making any kind of arts. They kind of just think, build it and they will come, when really it's build it, make sure you could build a relationship with these people somehow. And then maybe they'll stick around for a little while longer. You know, it's kind of like going to a party and you find one person that's, they're not, you know, no one's engaging with them. You go talk to them and you build a connection. And then they're like, hey, let's hang out later. And now you've built a relationship, and then they'll want to come back and see you. That's what you need to do through video, which I think is a lot harder to do, you know, where you're just like, here's a couple of videos and hopefully people will click on yours on YouTube or on Spotify or whatever, you know, whatever platform you're using. So that's the hardest. That's already hard for them to come to you when they don't even see you. You know, you have to exist somehow for them. And then when they watch or listen to you as quickly as you can, and like the TikTok rule is less than 6 seconds, or the Vine rule, grab their attention as quick as they can so they can stick around and be like, oh, I resonate with this guy. Let me stick around for the rest of the story, or so I could keep feeling this way.
Yeah. And that's what that's why I kind of like this podcast, is because I literally have people on like you who are like educating me. I'm learning from the podcast, and then also ideally the audience. But so I'm on Instagram. That's probably my main platform that I use, is Instagram for reels and stuff. But I just met these guys recently who were like, they were getting like more likes and stuff than me. And I was talking to them like, what do you do? And they're like, they'll actually go and like message each person who likes their videos and like kind of have a conversation with them. So just like what you're saying, they'll kind of like get to know them. And I think that is what it's all about, is like the people feeling like they, you know, have a friend in you or whatever. And I always kind of thought that just came off like spammy, like, hey, what's up? Like, I saw you like my video, you know, can you watch this one too or whatever? So I haven't done it, but I think I'm going to have to start doing it. I feel like there's like a whole sales, like
there's sales an art is to like- it. There is a spammy part to it. If you just go and say, hey, saw you like my video, here's another one, go watch it. Okay. You know, go fuck yourself. I'm not going to do that. You know, you just spammed me.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
if you were able to, there's a way to do it. If you could spend 60 seconds, like a whole minute, go through their profile and see something that they like or something, and be like, hey, thanks for liking my video. I see that you really enjoyed this. Oh, me too. Something like that. Engage, you know, and this way, that's where even that little bit of a connection will be like, oh, this guy actually took a little bit of interest in me. Yeah, I'll give him my time, you know,
like this guy actually cares about me as opposed to just trying to sell me something. But in terms of the music though, are you able, because I'm not able to critique music or films or anything like that, like that's a really hard thing to do, but are you able to critique some of these bands, like because I think there's a whole like YouTube channel where it's like they're like just talking about like why Red Hot Chili Peppers is bad, and like I agree with them, like I fucking hate Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I think they've somehow like just completely like exploited the radio system in a way that's like just kind of awful in my opinion, like them and like Foo Fighters and even Blink-182 at this point. They were my favorite band, but at this point like it's just trash. And it's like, are you able to kind of go in and say, okay, this is why this, like we talked about this before, where like maybe it's just you're old, you don't know. But are there some bands where you could just go in and like literally kind of like critique it in a way that's like, this is why this is bad and this is why this is good? Or is that just impossible with art? Like it could be good, it could be bad. You know what I mean? I'm kind of asking you the similar questions, but
yeah, it's a different question for sure. And I am definitely not one to critique, because like the reason, like when I was in my old band, I'll be like, these guys are awesome. And they're the ones that critiquing, like, absolutely not. Do you not hear the song? I'm like, I think it's great. Like I said, like, it has to feel good for me. And that's where the subjectivity comes in. And like, hey, guess what? It doesn't only sound good for me, but they also have like 300,000 listeners on Spotify monthly. So I think they got something right here. You know, it's not like they only have 10 monthly listeners. It's like, well, oh yeah, they're fantastic. They're just undiscovered and stuff like that, you know?
But with some of the stuff, I just feel like there's gotta be like something going on behind the scenes, like with some of the bands. And like, I'm kind of hating on RHCP a little bit too much because they are talented. Like, I don't think that they're not talented. It's more like they've just, what bothers me about them is how every record gets multiple songs on the radio. And some of them are just not good in my opinion. But I totally agree with you with like, it's all about vibes, especially now. I think it's just like TikTok, Instagram reels. It's all about that fucking like 6 second vibe that you can just happen to get when you're filming or just like connecting with someone, like you said. But where was I going with that? But yeah, like, oh yeah. In terms of like the views though, or the listens on Spotify, it's like, I don't necessarily think I agree with you on if they have a million views, it means they're good, because I mean, look at Britney Spears. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you could even say that, oh, Britney Spears actually is good, or whoever. I'm just throwing her name out there. Mm-hmm. like obviously Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish and all that stuff like actually is good. I'm not gonna say it's bad. Mm-hmm. Like they're all talented, but I feel like there's something going on behind the scenes. Like it's like, even with like the stuff that I do, like I'm really trying. Like I feel like you almost have to have some like a fucking like marketing team behind you or something to like.
Oh yeah, I think that's shit out. That's the difference. I mean, do you have a marketing team behind you? I think that's the biggest difference. They have teams for every single section that they can drive and push their music down your throats to the point where you get to a point where you're like, you know, it's actually not a bad song, you know, because they just they're able to put it in front of your face so many times. You know, that's why, like, you know, radio stations, I don't know what which one you got in California, but in New York, we got like Z100. And it's just, you know, if I'm driving in the car and I forgot, you know, my auxiliary cable or whatever to play my music, you know, like I'll put on the radio Z100. It's the same song every 15 minutes. And it gets to a point where you're singing along to the song and you're like, damn it. You know, it's like, oh, okay. It's stuck in my head now. But it's just that marketing team. It's all different kinds of teams. They're booking agents, getting them on tours with maybe another musician that you liked. And you're like, oh, well now I have to watch them to watch my favorite band or artist or whoever like that. They're just smart like that. They just know there's a whole lot of psychology, I think, behind it to know what kind of audience they're going for. And I think that's the most important thing, that they really know who their audience is. And that's where like testing your marketing strategies and stuff is so important. So like, for example, for this podcast episode, right? If it's like, let's say it's like almost an hour long, you can make literally 61 minute videos of this whole thing. Just place them everywhere or just pick interesting spots of the podcast that you think, you know, even parts that you don't think is interesting, get a piece of it and post it somewhere. Because maybe that'll surprise you that a lot of people actually found that interesting. And you're like, oh, I didn't think of that. And now you're going to double down and maybe you know your audience a little bit more. That's where you could start molding. I think that's what I like a lot about new creators, new artists and stuff like that, where you don't have to know who your audience is right away because you don't know what stuff you're good at yet. And you don't know what kind of people you're going to be able to resonate with. So once you start building this connection with people and saying, you know, I made this and like, oh, I want this for 18 to 25 year olds listening, but instead you got, you know, 25 to 35 year olds and you're just like, not what I intended, but I'm seeing that this is where I'm going for. Let's mold my stuff for this audience now instead. There was like a great like marketing example recently too. Like somebody was making a video for Mother's Day. And it was like a mom seeing baby pictures of her daughter or something like that, you know, and it was intended for moms. And that was the audience that they were going for. And then a different marketing team came and they're like, can we test something? And they're like, yeah, sure. And they just kind of marketed it to everyone. So women of all ages and men of all ages, just to see who actually is watching this the most, who is sharing this the most, you know? And they found that 16 to 24 year olds were actually sharing this the most because they took this video as an homage to their mother saying, look at this video. Here's a few of my baby pictures. And this is thanks to my mother raising me to be the woman that I am today. Thank you so much. You know, when the intention at first was for the mom, because they were selling like picture frames or something. I can't remember what they were selling, but it's so weird where you just do a little bit of testing and see that your whole audience is a whole different group of people. And that's where you shift or pivot and be like, okay, here's where we're going for now. We need to double down on marketing to these people because it's obviously working more.
Yeah. And I was a psychology major. So I am just like interested in the psychology aspect. And I think that everybody is kind of like looking for that, that spark of an idea that just like, is the perfect idea. And that's part of the reason why I like music. I wrote songs. Now it would be filming. I just love the idea of like, if I could just get that perfect video or just a YouTube idea or TikTok idea or whatever it is. And if I could just come up with a really good idea for YouTube, but it's extremely hard to do. Some people just naturally have a gift at like a certain topic and they're good at that. But I don't know if you have too much more time, but
Yeah, it's actually gonna slowly end it for it, but I was having so much fun. Fun with the podcast. Micah, thank you so much. I really appreciate being on the podcast today. It was actually really lovely talking to you. Thank you so much.
No problem. If I could just ask you the last question that I always ask is so promote your band again. And if you could also tell us newer music, movies, TV shows, podcasts, anything that you're into currently. My goal for myself is to try and find as much of that as possible. And it sounds like we're interested in the same music and probably the same TV shows, movies, and podcasts too. So plug away, whether it's your stuff or anybody else's stuff.
Fine. So in terms of podcasts, I definitely recommend The Deep Dive by Ali Abdaal. Ali Abdaal is this productivity guru, happiness guru, stoic dude. I'm just a huge stan with all the other people that do this. He has a good grasp on it, and I really enjoy his stuff. So The Deep Dive, where he talks to a lot of other business owners or people who have completely pivoted in their lives and do something completely different and succeeded. I think it's good for people who need a little boost to go do the thing they love to do. In terms of music, unfortunately, it's never anyone new. It's always old people that's recreating new music. I'm trying to think of anyone. Man, this is terrible. I wish I could tell you.
So sad that we can't even come up with
new. I can't even think of it. I'm going through my playlist just now, and I'm seeing, Release Radar, The Used, Death Cab for Cutie, they just released new songs, All Time Low, Crazy. Tears to Veil, Paramore. I think any of those new albums, I would definitely say Paramore's new album is really good. I have to say, I really enjoy Paramore's new take on their indie rock kind of music. I think it's really good. So that's what I would go for. That podcast, A Deep Dive, movies. I haven't seen it, but man, there's something about Cocaine Bear that I just really want to see, man. There's something about Cocaine Bear. I need to go see it. So that's all I got for that.
Yeah.
Oh, and okay. My bad, please. Yeah, really quick. Yeah. The Sounds of Settling, new single, debut single, Healing Failures came out. You can find it anywhere on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever. Just search The Sounds of Settling, Healing Failures, and you're sure to find it.
All right. Sounds good. And then did you record everything by yourself?
That's an interesting point. So I wrote all the parts. However, I'm left-handed, so I play a left-handed, and the only instrument I have here is an acoustic guitar. So when I went to the producer, I was like, can you record all the parts and I'll just teach you what they are? He's like, yeah, absolutely. So he all of the other parts in terms of guitar, basses, the drums are, we programmed the drums, but all the other electric guitars, and the bass parts, he had to record, and I just had to show him what to play. And then the acoustic I played.
Oh, wow. That's wild, man. All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Robert. And I'll definitely check out your music again. And thank you. There was one last thing I was going to say, but I forgot. So I'll let you go. Hopefully you can figure out a way to make it doing music so that you can quit your day job.
That'd be great. Yeah, I would love that. Yeah. Thank you so much, Micah. Have a good night. Again. All right. Take care. See ya.
Bye.